Are you pressing wrong buttons?
I almost clicked the leave session button.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, I'm done
well,
now,
thanks
bye.
For nothing, Bill. I'm out. Peace out, homie.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, okay. All right, whatever. Welcome back to The Watch List with Patty and Bill. Make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcasts. It's not Google anymore because they're out of the podcast business. Make sure you also go to thewatchlistpod.com and check out all of the information that Patty leaves there so you can make up your own watch list. Or you can click on the contact us button.
What button is that?
The contact us button.
Great.
And leave us a note. Or you can hit us up on social media. @BillIvoryLarson. @PirateAlice. @TheWatchListPod. And if you just happen to listen on a platform that has a rating, please give us the highest rating possible so that our niche podcast can go from niche to overtaking that fucker Joe Rogan. Okay.
Yeah, that's our goal.
That's our goal. World domination. Fuck that guy. You know, because they say that there's tons of money out there for content creators. Where's our share of it? I would be more than happy to do this podcast with you 5 fucking days a week.
Me too.
If we got paid.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even have to be Joe Rogan money. Just give me the equivalent to a year's salary. I will do this job 5 days a week.
Yeah.
I'll record with you, then go watch shit, record with you again. You'll get everything watched.
Yeah, totally. I'll watch all the shit.
I'll watch all the shit.
I'll watch the money. Shit out of all that shit.
That's right.
For money.
We'll watch the shit out of shit.
And I'll get better equipment.
Hey, as long as that little blue light is on your microphone, you're good.
That's right. Oh.
That's right. Yeah. So, today is okay, first of all, sorry I was not here last week. Sorry we were both not here, but that was my fault. I was supposed to have knee replacement surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And that got postponed due to a really, really, really bad infection that I got. It's like my body knows it's going to go under the knife, and it says, nah-uh-uh. Nope. Nah-uh-uh. Nope. So, yeah. So, after a brief little hospital stay, I am back up and running and feeling much better, even though I'm still not done with my antibiotics yet and will not be for another week.
Ugh, gross.
But thank you to everyone who reached out and wished me well, both for the surgery and, you know, afterwards. So I really appreciate that. But it gave me a chance to really relive teenage Bill.
Oh.
And it was so much fun. Uh-huh. I watched 2 things this week. Both had to do with 80s groups.
Excellent.
Both had to do with music.
Fabulous.
And it was awesome.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. What about you? What did you watch?
I have 3 things. One of them, okay, I believe, is the same as one of yours.
Yeah.
And then Apple Plus and like a End of the World series.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, then, so you got 3 things.
Yes.
So why don't you go first?
I will go first with the series that's on Apple Plus called Sugar. It stars Colin Farrell, James Cromwell is in it, and Amy Ryan. There are currently...
That'll do, pig. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That'll do, pig. That'll do.
That'll do, pig. That'll do.
There are currently 6 episodes. There are more to come. Sugar is the name of the lead character, played by Colin Farrell. He is a private investigator. And this is very kind of, even though it's present day, it's got that noir kind of 30s detective guy kind of feel to it. when we're flashing back to stuff, it's in black and white, and then present day stuff's in color. And he is the master of finding people, like missing people. So very rich people come to him when their child goes missing and they don't want like a whole lot of press about it, that kind of thing. So he is hired by this uber rich California guy to find his granddaughter, who's like, she's in her 20s, I want to say. And she's known to be, she's a known former drug addict. So her parents think she just got back on the juice or whatever you want to call it. Back on the
juice?
The juice.
You're so hip, Patty.
I am so hip. That is what people call that these days. Of course it is.
They call it the juice.
Yeah, she fell off the wagon and they think she's just lying in a ditch somewhere and they don't care. They're done with her. But Grandpa is like, no, I don't think so. So Sugar goes into this investigation, but there's a whole lot more going on than what it seems, like a whole lot more. And this is amazing, this show. Like, you mentioned your friend told you to check out this one and a couple others last podcast after we were done.
Yeah.
And I figured I'll check this one out. And I thought I was just going to watch the first episode. And after that first episode, I'm like, oh, hell no. What's going on here? And I just hop into the next and the next. The next thing I know, I'm hooked on this show. I'm absolutely hooked on this show.
I can't wait to watch it. It looks so noir, and I am a sucker for noir. I really am. And as much as I cannot watch this movie anymore, like L.A. Confidential is a beautiful example of that. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is actually very good.
I like that one.
So I'm very intrigued. So you were entertained by this?
This is really good. This is really, really good. And I need to know, like, what is going on. I just need to know this, like, because there's so much more, like, with him and his backstory that slowly pieces dribble in. I'm like, I got to know. What is this?
So do new episodes drop every
they're
week?
They're still dropping, yes.
I see. All right.
There's six currently available. The seventh one's coming this coming week.
Wow.
I can't find where it says how many total episodes there's going to be.
And this is on Apple TV Plus, right?
This is on Apple TV Plus, Sugar, starring Colin Farrell.
I got to say, fuck MLB for putting certain baseball games on Apple TV Plus.
What the fuck?
Because their coverage is just shite. I mean, you know, wherever you are in the world, you love your specific broadcast of baseball.
Yeah.
Above all, you really do. Like, you could put up with the difference in football between Fox and NBC or whoever the hell or whatever, ESPN. But for baseball, it's like settling in and you know the voices you're going to hear and all that. When it's on, the only thing, basically my point is, the only thing Apple TV Plus seems to do wrong is sports. But anyway. But, yeah. All right.
The fact that the games are across so many different places is
that drives me
nuts. Confusing to me. I mean, I'm not a sports fan, but I want to know, I can go to X place, you know, ABC, my Fox affiliate, whatever, and watch whatever sport I want to watch. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to be able to do, but it's like they're all over the place now.
Yeah. Like, the Phillies games can be, you know, either on national TV on something like TNT or something like that. The normal Comcast Sportsnet carries them. Last night it was on Apple TV Plus. You really do need, like, a schedule.
I mean, I shouldn't have to hunt down where to watch my local baseball team.
No, you shouldn't. And it shouldn't be behind a paywall.
Absolutely.
It really
not.
Shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, it's bullshit. But anyway.
Anyway, moving on.
Okay, of the two things that I watched, the second one is Meteor.
Oh.
And so I want to talk about the one that you and I both watched.
Okay.
First.
Okay.
And that is Duran Duran, There's Something You Should Know.
Mm-hmm.
oh my God, was this awesome.
Yeah. I want to say this one was, it aired on Showtime a few years back, because this is from 2018. And yeah, I had gotten together with my high school friends to watch it, because I didn't have Showtime at that. I just didn't have Showtime. And we talked about high school and shit through the whole damn thing, and I missed the whole damn thing. So seeing that it's on Netflix, I was like, hell yeah, yeah. I was excited to actually watch it and pay attention.
It is, I'll tell you what, first of all, folks, the show is actually only 58 minutes long.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's only one episode of this, and it's 58 minutes long. So you're in and out of your high school self within an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, they fucking transport you, man. You go back to thinking, what was I doing then? Oh my God, yes. Oh, it was so cool. But what I found interesting about this is that they all now, or at least they did, you know, like 6 years ago, when this show was made, it's nice to see that they all have the perspective of age.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because you always ascribe all of these personalities to these celebrities based on the interviews they give to the press and their onstage persona. So hearing Nick Rhodes talk, I was like, I could hang out with this dude.
Yeah.
Or was it, which one was driving the car? Was that John Taylor, the shorter one?
He's not short. John Taylor is tallest. Roger Taylor is the drummer, yes.
Okay, so it was Roger Taylor driving around. But it was interesting watching him drive around and go to these places where Duran Duran was born spiritually.
Yeah, like the Rum Runner and a few of the other clubs they played at, yeah.
And all listening to
Birmingham,
the music.
Birmingham, England, this is where they were born. Birmingham.
Yes.
Yeah.
Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so fun.
It was a lot of fun.
And you see, I mean, within 58 minutes, you see the rise and the fall of Duran Duran.
Mm-hmm. You see why Andy Taylor left. They don't show you anything with Cucurillo, who was the lead guitarist after Andy Taylor. He was actually the lead guitarist of Duran Duran longer than Andy Taylor was. Warren Cucurillo. That's his name. What did I say his name was?
I don't know. I may have said it wrong.
Warren Cucurillo. The replacement for Andy Taylor, yes. I was hoping they would touch on Warren, because he left as well. And I liked that they dribbled in a few clips of music videos and some clips from their, like, 80s documentary called Sing Blue Silver. Where there was some live concert footage and the Screaming Girls stuff that was all in Sing Blue Silver. Yes,
oh,
I am
God.
A deep, heavy Durani, by the way.
So when they came to Chicago and they played the Rosemont Horizon.
That was in
I got
the 80s?
Tickets in the 80s.
Okay, so the Seven and the Ragged Tiger tour?
Exactly. It was the Seven and the Ragged Tiger tour, and I was excited. And I bought two tickets because I was hoping this girl would go with me.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was a sure thing because she loved Duran Duran. And I thought, I got a ticket for you.
Ooh.
And she was like, no, I have tickets for all three nights already. Thank you.
Oh,
like,
man.
Fuck you, bitch.
Oh.
Oh,
too bad
God.
We didn't know each other because I would have gone with you. My older sister went and she wasn't even a fan. And I was crushed because I was very young and I wanted to go and I didn't understand you need tickets to go, and she's like, you ain't coming with me.
I totally would have taken you. But I went by myself. I'm not gonna
fuck you, but paid for tickets, and why not?
Well, and in the freewheeling 80s, I did not have a car.
Oh
so
god
I went
so
from
bus
Hyde
to bus to bus oh fuck
it was bus to train to bus
right
to get there, which was easy. But the last bus stopped running at like 11 p.m. at night. So I had to walk from the Rosemont Horizon all the way to the River Road train station at night by myself.
God.
This proves that Gen Xers are the strongest fucking generation there is.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Because here's this kid, and that tour was, what, 83, so I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
Walking by myself for however the fuck long. I don't know, in my adult perception now, I could probably say, oh, it wasn't that far. But it was far enough that a child should not have been walking by themselves at night, like
on those busy
on those busy streets, just trying to get to, like, there's that big water tower with the big rose on it, which is a great landmark because that is very near the River Road train station. So I knew if I saw that, I should walk toward that.
So you didn't even
know. And so I'm walking like a long highway road. Oh, my God. It was, oh, God. Anyway, thank God I'm alive. Anyway, but that concert, I mean, you talk about this guy being a replacement for longer than Taylor being in the group. But you don't remember that guy because you remember, your heart remembers Simon, Nick, John, Andy, Roger.
Yes.
And I am so glad that I saw them in concert. Even when I was a kid, and I hardly remember shit, I remember just the spectacle, the screaming. And it was so awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this special reminds me of it.
Yeah, I remember Warren because I saw Warren. I saw them with Warren Cucurillo live. That was the first Duran Duran concert I was able to go to where he was the guitarist. Mm. That's how I remember him and how, but also because I'm a fan, a longtime fan, and I know I've seen articles and they mention that he was the guitarist longer than Andy. That's how I know that. But still, Andy, I'd love to see the original lineup, but I just haven't been able to.
Did you and I go to House of Blues together to see Duran Duran? I know we did for what's-his-face, performance artist Henry Rollins. I know you and I did that.
I love Henry Rollins.
I know you did, and that's why we went.
I love Henry Rollins.
I remember seeing Duran Duran at House of Blues. I don't know if we went together.
I don't think so. I don't remember if I saw them at House of Blues or not. I know I saw them at the Holiday Star Theater in Merrillville, Indiana.
That's like the Branson, Missouri, but anyway.
Well, it was closer to me than any of the Chicago places. And I saw Power Station back when they were big, but I can't remember where else I saw. I think I've seen them maybe twice, but they did a tour, according to this documentary, they did a tour with the original lineup again, but I, including Andy Taylor, that is, but I didn't catch that one. I did not.
Wow. This show was so cool that if I see them come around this way again, I'm going to go.
Oh, totes my goats.
Yeah. I mean, now in 58 minutes, which is in juxtaposition to the last thing I want to talk about, in 58 minutes, they gloss over so much.
Oh, my God. They totally. This was not some in-depth thing. Not at all.
No, it is not. It is a superficial documentary.
Yeah.
There are some parts of it that are very cool about, where they spiritually were born, them forming the band, them being on tour together. That stuff is so neat. And like you said before, the music video clips and all that other sort of stuff. But there's no real, like, drama. Like the meat of Duran Duran.
Yeah.
And did I necessarily want to see the show? Why not? I could have sat through another hour of that documentary. Easy. But as it stands now, there's Something You Should Know by Duran Duran on Netflix is absolutely worth an hour of your time. Without a doubt. And if you were Duran, you call yourselves Durannies? Is that the?
That's what we don't. We didn't choose that name. I don't think. I think that was chosen for us by the media. Only K-pop get to choose what their fandoms names are.
Whatever. But as a fan of Duran Duran, if you are also fans of Duran Duran, watch this. It's
fun. If you haven't yet, because this is from 2018.
If you haven't yet, you know. But anywho.
But totally worth watching. It's on Netflix, by the way, if we didn't mention
Netflix,
that.
Yeah. All right, what's your next thing?
My next thing, and it's my final thing, is the series on Netflix called Goodbye Earth.
Okay.
This is a Korean show, but it is dubbed into English for those who need English, about an asteroid that is on a collision course with Earth, and it is going to hit the Korean Peninsula directly, and all the chaos that ensues from that. Now, the male lead, actor Yoo Ah-in, his scenes, a lot of them were cut because after they finished filming and as the director was beginning to edit it, Yoo Ah-in was indicted on drug charges. And this is what they do in Korea.
Drug charges in South Korea?
In any kind of scandal that's bad. Scandals are all bad. But anything like that, drug charges, high school bullying, all of that gets you kind of canceled and destroys your entire career, no matter how talented you are. And so they couldn't cut him out completely because he was the male lead. The whole story revolved around him. But they were able to edit it in not the greatest way, I'm going to say, to focus more on the female lead played by Ah Eun-jin, she's an amazing actress, by the way. So there's a lot of stuff that you see with the main lead character, the male lead character, I mean, where you're like, what is this about? I want to know more about it. Like, his side is cut open and he's got some kind of flashing light tracker that you see through his skin in his side, but you never find out what that is or who put that there. There's a whole lot left, questions about him and what happened to him. Because he had been in America, he's a scientist, and when it opens, she's on a video call with him. There's chaos going on where she's at in Seoul, riots and shit. And he is in America, he's locked in his laboratory, and there are people coming in with guns, and we're like, what's going on? So this isn't about the aftermath of the asteroid hitting the Earth. This is about the chaos prior to the asteroid. And they jump around in time a lot, but you get the little timestamp D minus 128 days or whatever. And there's just so much going on. So much going on. It's because everybody's trying to get as much money as they can to buy their way out of Korea, to go to one of the safe countries or safe zones. And some people can't go because it's agreed upon that anyone who has a similar criminal record that would be illegal things in the safe zone countries, they won't let you in. And man, it's really good. But that bit of with the male lead that's really questionable what's going on because the actor was highly edited out.
Yeah.
But the female lead really does a good job of being the focus of this, focusing on her. She's a school teacher and she's very worried about her students, the young teenage preteen students that she's got. That's a really good storyline to focus on. I really enjoyed that they focused on that more than whatever the hell was going on with him.
Well,
Goodbye Earth. It's highly entertaining. It's on Netflix and all the episodes are available.
Okay. So the last thing that I have is very interesting. It just dropped.
Uh-huh.
It is on Hulu.
Hulu.
It is 4 episodes, and it is called Thank You, Good Night, The Bon Jovi Story.
Oh.
I was on a theme, man. I'm telling you, this Duran Duran thing got me going down a rabbit hole. And I had seen one of this, and then I was like, fuck it, I've got to find something on Journey, right? And there is one thing about Journey, but it's about Arnel Pineda, the current lead singer of Journey.
Oh, right.
And it aired on cable at some point, but you can only rent it now. And I was like, oh, man, in this day and age of streaming, I can't find this shit for free.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find a docu-series about Journey itself.
Okay.
But there was, I remember back in the day, like one of those VH1 Behind the Musics of Journey.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, that would have done. If I had found that, I would have watched that again. But when this dropped, I was very interested to watch it because, you know, us in Chicago, Bon Jovi hit. I mean, I remember being in the record store in Hyde Park and seeing Slippery When Wet in there. And I'm like, okay, I'm liking what I'm hearing, but it is way different in New Jersey.
Oh, because he's it is New Jersey's one of, son. It is,
because he, yeah, I mean, him, Springsteen,
yeah,
that is a whole different vibe out here. And I'll say this also, there are certain things that you get being in the region where they are, where they're from. I didn't understand the power of Rocky until I heard the Rocky theme in a movie theater in New Jersey. And people, and it was the Rocky Balboa movie. And as soon as you hear the dun 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 and the crowd is just cheering,
wow!
Then you get it, yeah. The same is true for Bon Jovi.
Ooh.
And so I was very interested to see this. And for those who don't know, for the three people who don't know, there is a band called Bon Jovi. They were created in the 80s. And this is a 4-part all-access docuseries that chronicles the past, present, and future, possibly, of Bon Jovi. And it covers 40 years. And mainly, it follows John Bon Jovi. And they cut back and forth because he is bearing everything, beginning with the fact that he was losing his voice and how he was trying all of these methods to maintain and keep his voice. And it's sad, you know, because if you've ever heard a Bon Jovi song, he hits high notes that are stupid, you know, which is great. You could do that in your 20s. You can absolutely do that in your 20s. But as time goes and your voice changes when you get old, or older, you can't hit those high notes anymore. And after, you know, all those years of touring and belting it out every night, he did some damage to his vocal cords.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting seeing Bon Jovi try to, and almost to a morose level, actually, want to solidify his legacy. And in the end, you kind of realize that that means still performing, pleasing crowds now and forever, and giving them what they want. But what he can't come to reckon with is the fact that his voice isn't what it was. I mean, now he's a 60-year-old man.
Yeah.
You know, and your voice is going to be different. Yeah. George Michael's voice was different. Springsteen's voice is different.
Simon Le Bon's voice is different.
Simon Le Bon, Steven Tyler, all these people, their voice just changes over time. And so I just kind of also wanted to shake Jon Bon Jovi and say, dude, your legacy is secure, man. You don't have to worry about shit because you're still going and you will always be remembered. There is nothing wrong with that. But the special, even though it is four parts, glosses heavily over the departure of Richie Sambora. And Richie Sambora, for those who don't know, was really the other half of Bon Jovi. Not just guitar, but singing as well as songwriting.
It
is very apparent. It is very apparent that after he left officially in 2013, Richie Sambora's lyrics were really better than Bon Jovi's. And it's sad to say, but, you know, when that kind of a key member leaves, you kind of feel it. And Bon Jovi, and he says this in the special, he still hasn't really gotten over Richie leaving. Like, I just get this feeling that if Richie Sambora says, I cleaned up my act and all that stuff, will you take me back? He would say yes in a fucking heartbeat and let's hit the road. So a lot of the songs that you hear now from Bon Jovi, which sound a lot like, you know, like Rod Stewart went the way of, kind of like more adult contemporary kind of songsies. Yeah, they're okay. Like some of the songs off this new album. He's releasing a new album this year.
Wow.
In August, July or August of this year. You know, they sound okay. They don't sound bad. Are they the hard-hitting rock, you know, you give love a bad name or bad medicine? No. But, you know, it's decent. I'll tell you what, though. If you have ever loved Bon Jovi in your life, you really should watch this. Because it also shows how Jon Bon Jovi took over control, a lot like Kiss took over control of their own management and their own marketing and all that stuff, which is probably exactly why they glossed over a lot of the departures of people. Like Tico Torres, the drummer, had a huge addiction problem, like alcohol, and glossed over that. And they certainly glossed over Richie Sambora. But I think that was Jon Bon Jovi doing them a solid and not wanting to tarnish the image.
Yeah.
Not just of the men, but of the band as well. But, oh my God, but that last episode in particular was like, oh my God, John, like, can we have some happy? No. You know, it was just, bleh. Anyway, so that is... Thank You, Goodnight, the Bon Jovi story. It is on Hulu. All four episodes have dropped. It looks and sounds amazing.
Cool.
So check it out. It's definitely worth it. And some friends and I are going to get together tomorrow. We're recording this on Saturday, folks. We're going to almost have a book club on this show.
Oh.
That's how different it is, because shout out to Suzanne, shout out to Terry, lifelong Bon Jovi fans. As a matter of fact, Suzanne volunteers at the kitchen that Bon Jovi set up.
Oh, cool.
And does that on a semi-regular basis. So you want to talk about, you know, legacy, he's feeding people.
Yeah.
He's doing good with his fame and his name and all of that. So anyway, so we're going to have a sort of book club about it tomorrow, which is going to be interesting, hearing the perspective of Jersey girls.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a phrase out here. I'm not trying to be sexist. When you're a Jersey girl and you grow up in the land of Bon Jovi, oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to that perspective. So anyway, that was the last thing I got. So do us a favor. Log on to thewatchlistpod.com. Click on the... There it is.
Yep.
Click on that. I was trying to get through. Click on that contact us button. What was your favorite 80s band? Even if it wasn't Duran Duran or Bon Jovi, who did it for you in the 80s? or the 90s, like who was your shit? Like in another 20 years, 30 years, who do you want to see a documentary about? I would love to hear that. And every now and then I'm going to watch for these little documentaries to pop up because they're fun.
They really are.
And going back to the Bon Jovi thing, I totally get feeling 25 in your head and having shit not work because you're over 50. I absolutely get that, like 100%. So when he talks about that, I am empathizing completely. Oh, man. Oh, that was so good. So everybody rock out this week. See, I just wanted to do that. Rock
so
out.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Rock and roll. Poison. Oh, my God. Even your dog is like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
anyway, everybody, have an awesome week. And we will. Wow. We'll catch you next time.
Hell yeah.
He probably thought I sounded like a cat dying. Anyway.
He can't hear.
All right. All right. I'll talk to you guys later. We will see you later. Thank you so much for listening. And
yes.
We'll catch you next time.
All right.
Okay, bye.